So we're now going to move on to the Alter Rebbe's wedding. The Talmidei Chachamim of Vitebsk were thrilled when they heard that the Iloi of Liozhne was in town. And they took the opportunity to have long discussions and learning with Reb Shneur Zalman. And it didn't take long before Reb Yehuda Leib Segel, who was the head of the Jewish community, and he heard about the greatness of the Iloi of Liozhne. And he thought about arranging a shidduch between his daughter and Reb Shneur Zalman. His daughter's name was Sterna, right? Who later became Rebbetzin Sterna. Now, he asked his uncle, meaning Reb Yehuda Leib asked his uncle, who was Reb Elisha. He was considered to be like one of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim in the area. He said, I want you to test this young guy. And after a few very long discussions in different topics of Torah and Halacha, Reb Elisha was just like super overwhelmed with Reb Shneur Zalman's knowledge and his clarity, how clear everything he made everything look. And he told his nephew, Reb Yehuda Leib, that you're not going to get another chassan that's as good as this one. And hearing all this praise of the wealthy, very rich, Reb Yehuda Leib Segel offered the huge sum of 5,000 gold coins as a dowry. The way it used to work back then is that when the kala would suggest a shidduch, the kala side, not the kala herself, they would say, how much money are we going to give to the chassan that he could do whatever he wants with? And Reb Baruch looked into the shidduch, and he was very pleased when he heard of Rebbetzin Sterna's exceptional qualities. And he asked his son, what do you think? Reb Shneur Zalman agreed to the shidduch on the condition that his learning doesn't get disturbed by obligations. For example, his father-in-law, because he was so rich and he dealt with a lot of people in the area, you know, very influential people, said, I don't want to have to be sitting there schmoozing with your associates and stuff like that. I want to be able to sit and learn without you, don't schlep me along to your parties because you want to show me off. Not interested. His other condition was that he should be allowed to spend his entire dowry, 5,000 gold coins, on whatever he wished, rather than having his father-in-law invest it for him, which is what he wanted to do. And everything was agreed, and the young couple became engaged. The chasana took place the following year on Erev Shabbos, it was Parshas Vaaschanan, Yud Beis Av. So the Alter Rebbe was only 14. He was almost 15. He was a month away from being 15. A month and a few days. Now, immediately after the wedding, with the complete support of his wife, Reb Shneur Zalman gave away the entire dowry, 5,000 gold coins, to help poor Yidden buy land. No, in Russia, not in Eretz Yisrael. And that he should be able to afford the necessary equipment for farming. Now, in doing so, he not only gave hundreds of Yidden the money they needed to get started, but he set an example for others also to give a lot of money. And slowly these areas developed into like small settlements. Originally there was nobody living there. Over time, this Yid moves there to become a farmer of wheat. This Yid, a mile down the road, does this type of farming. And until you get a little, chateau going on, spinning and weaving wool, linen, all that stuff. Now, Reb Shneur Zalman would encourage the Yidden there to daven with the minyan. Don't forget about learning Torah every day. Don't forget to educate your children. At the beginning of the marriage, his in-laws, Reb Yehuda Leib Segel and his wife, they took a lot of pride at the brilliance of their son-in-law. And Reb Yehuda Leib even showed him off to the non-Jewish nobility by taking him to the governor in order to solve a big problem of why the governor's sundial stopped working for a few hours every day in the afternoon. So even though what was one of the conditions he made before he got married? That you're not going to schlep me to these things. But in this case, Reb Shneur Zalman agreed to go because he was afraid that if he would refuse, it would not be good for the Yidden in the area. Better keep the governor happy. And he was able to fix the problem he said, on the top of a mountain is a few trees that grew taller, and that's why your sundial is getting messed up every day for a few hours. And they went, they cut down a few trees, and they saw the sundial continue to work. And on another occasion, there were all the very chashuva people, I'm talking about the non-Jews, were gathering around, and there was a very difficult math problem and he managed to solve it, something that like only like the world famous professors in math would be able to solve such a thing. And Reb Shneur Zalman's stature, his the way he was, grew not just among the Yidden, but even among the governor now heard of him and was like very respectful of him. While in the governor's presence, Reb Shneur Zalman overheard comments that revealed to him that the nobility has a very deep hatred for Yidden. And he realized that this hatred came from their misperception of Yidden as a whole. Misperception means that they look at them and they see this and they think, oh, like for instance, they would see a Yid wearing a silk kapata, oh, the Jew must be rich, because silk is very expensive. What he doesn't know is that, no, the guy spends his money, the guy next door to him spends all his money on mashke, and this Yid saved for 3 years in order to buy a kapata. Now, since non-Jews, they never came into the ghetto, where all the Yidden lived, all clustered together, all the poor Yidden. Which Yidden do they ever see? The rich merchants and all the chashuva Yidden. The bankers who charge very high interest, the wealthy merchants. And who else? The beggars. So, the only exposure that they had to Yidden, either they were jealous of them for being so rich, or they looked down at them as a bunch of losers that they couldn't find a normal job. They didn't know that there's this whole middle class in the ghetto, which is the majority of the Yidden. But they didn't even know this. In their head, they think, oh, Yidden are either super rich or super poor. There's no one in the middle. And this convinced Reb Shneur Zalman that if more Yidden would follow his advice and begin working the land, they would be looked upon differently. And he enthusiastically devoted himself to this endeavor throughout his life. After a while, however, his in-laws began to notice and observe that many minhagim that he was doing was very strange to them. And he followed many things that the Shalom HaKadosh wrote about, the Shalom HaKadosh's teachings, which a lot of it's based off Kabbalah. Remember, this is before the Alter Rebbe knew anything about Hasidus. And he would also daven for a long time. And this disturbed them a lot, the in-laws. Because the whole reason they wanted him for a son-in-law is because he was a tremendous learner. But now they see that there are other Talmidei Chachamim who are spending 2 hours more every single day learning than him because he davened for extra long. Meanwhile, there was a group of very bright young men. Remember, the Alter Rebbe was only 14, 15 at this time. But they turned to him as their guide. And in addition to learning with them, he taught them to daven according to the Shalom Siddur and to daven for a long time, Barichus. And in spite of how smart he was, his in-laws found these differences too difficult to accept, and they began voicing their very painful and stinging remarks to their daughter about him. Oh, you get your husband to change, he's not doing the right thing, things like that. However, Rebbe Tzinsterna, the whole time, stuck by her husband's side and didn't give in. And we'll stop over there for today.